Martha.
Hi.
Hello.
I delivered the freezer today. Thought you'd want to know.
You have what?
They delivered the freezer today.
Oh, good. So y'all got one from Aaron?
Yes, it's brand new and just real nice and neat. And I just went and checked it, and it looks like it's ready to, you know, it's cooled and ready for me to start putting things in it. So.
Well, great. I'm glad it worked out for you guys.
Yeah, it really did. I sure appreciate your help.
No problem. Glad to help. Always glad to help you.
I know you are. I don't think it's just me you help. I think everybody you meet you help.
I try.
I know you do. Do it while you're young, because it gets harder when you get older.
I'm getting there.
Oh, you got a long way to go.
I'm catching up.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you start having great grandchildren, then you can say, I'm getting there. Mine just left, and I breathed a sigh of relief. Oh, they have so much energy, I'm telling you.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
We're still having babies right now.
Yeah. Well, see, this one's 11 years old. So.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Of course, I could have a grandchild in about 5 years, I guess, a great-grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 years, possibly. Oh. Brandela.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey.
How you doing?
Not good, but I will be doing better. I had a breathing, couldn't breathe. Had to go to the emergency room this morning. And they were, between God and them, they worked their magic. They did IVs and x-rays and a bruised a rib. And they got me to where I'm breathing and told me what gave me some medications, and I'm fixing to mute because I need to use my machine here to get some more. I'm at home
okay.
Now.
Okay.
They
we ought to be able to finish, I think, the section today. I don't think there's one or two verses, I believe. Yeah. Well, I didn't.
Well, I listened yesterday. That was a lively discussion.
Well, you know, I had been up since 1, and after our Deeper Zohar, I went to my recliner. I didn't wake up till 6:30 this morning. So did y'all continue last night? I knew I was exhausted already. Because we were gone all day. We did the car shopping, and we found a car. And, you know, we was trying to make up the decision whether to buy extended warranty or trade-in or whatever. And anyway, we end up spending hours at the car dealer shop. And so when I got home, I was really tired. I just made it in time for the class. But I thought, sure, you know, I wouldn't sleep 12 hours, but I sure did.
Well, that was such a lively discussion yesterday. It took a lot of brain power.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still wondering, but did y'all have a discussion last night on question and answers?
I was fixing to get online, and my daughter called around few minutes before 9, and
course, I answer the phone, and she's a long-winded kind of person. So we talked until almost 9:30.
Good evening.
I didn't get on the class. Good evening.
Good evening,
Hello.
All. I'll start with Olashem Yehud. We're in section 39 of Parashat Noach from the Zohar, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And we'll start with verse 317 after the Lashem Yehud. Does anybody have any questions from previous verses or discussions?
Not at this moment. I couldn't make the 9 o'clock class last night.
And I couldn't either. I slept 12 hours. So I was exhausted. Did you have a class?
No, only Judy came, so, and she didn't have any questions per se, so.
And I couldn't breathe, so, sorry.
Well, what are you being particular about, Brandy?
Well, what can I say? It's normal for me.
Well, I think the bruising of your ribs didn't, I think that was probably part of it. Because when Tony bruised his, he had some breathing problems at first. So.
Okay.
Well, I think it was.
Very normal.
I think it was a correction.
It is a correction. When you bruise your ribs, it's a correction. And lack of being able to breathe is a correction.
Right. But I got the tingling in the spine again, so.
That's also a correction.
I'm working
Very
on
good.
It.
The main point about corrections is they do not have to be painful. And when they are painful, it's an indication that there's another path to follow.
Well, it was painful in the emergency room this morning. They tried to get blood in my left arm. There was no blood. So they tried in my right arm, and blood just shot out everywhere. So,
wow.
It's better to have blood in your right arm than your left, that's for sure.
Yes, I
agree. I guarantee you there was blood in your left arm, too.
Yeah, well, it wasn't cooperating.
That I understand.
It wouldn't come out.
You didn't pray properly, God forbid. I'm joking, Brandy.
I know you are. I was too busy screaming. I'm sorry.
That's the reason. When you scream, the blood doesn't come out.
Well, I guess that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in light of our conversation yesterday afternoon, I will just say that must have been a male comment that came out of me. I apologize. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. Wiraza Devat Sheva Ve'iti Hivat Ve'uriah Hachiti Bekad Maita Pok The dok amayit yahivat ara kadisha lichnan adla yetun Yisrael tishka milah davekola raza chada ihu. The secret of why Bathsheba was given first to Uriah the Hittite lies in the answer to the question of why the Holy Land was given first to Canaan before Israel existed. From this you shall understand why Bathsheba was given first to Uriah. Both questions are connected to one secret and one matter. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, if we know that time is the distance between cause and effect, evidently it wasn't time for Uriah to leave the earth, whether it was his mitzvot that held him to that particular time. I know we've read that as far as the land, until their time was up, then it couldn't go to Israel. That's about all I can think of right now.
Well, that's good. What you're saying is that Israel wasn't ready for to receive the land.
Well, we had to have the 12 sons, you know, because the kings of Edom had the land, and until Jacob came and had his 12 sons, and then the time wasn't there, so the time wasn't up yet for the kings of Edom. I mean, and that may not be right, but that's what's coming to me. So,
understand. Keep in mind that the nation of Canaan took the land from the time of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham wasn't ready because, as you said, the 12 tribes needed to be developed. The 12 tribes needed to grow into a nation. But it's a good thought. I also noticed in Aramaic, the second and third word in the verse. Normally, I've always seen those two words together, Bathsheba, as one name. And here they're being written as two. I'm not sure why.
Well, if it means daughter of seven.
Correct. That is the meaning of her name.
Okay.
And that's a hint that Bathsheba, just as Elisheva, is connected to Malchut. And that's why Bathsheba was to be King David's soulmate from the beginning.
Because why would the daughter be in front of Bath? I'm sorry. It's hard to know when you're finished. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Why would the Dalit be there? We don't usually see the Dalit as a prefix.
In Aramaic, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
In Aramaic, the Dalit is the doorway. The Dalit is similar to the Bet in Hebrew.
Okay. Now, did I hear you correctly? Did you mention the name Elisheva?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because Elisheva means a God keeps his promises, you know, Hashem keeps his oaths or his promises. So that's hidden in the name.
No, not quite. Look at the little literal translation. Eli is my God, my El, and Sheva is seven. Elisheva connects to Bina, and Bathsheba connects to Malchut.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because King David also relates to Malchut and kingdom.
Correct. And Elisheva is the soulmate of Aaron.
Okay, I remember that.
Well, Aaron is the epitome of chesed. He's not the chariot for chesed, but the epitome of chesed. And that is a connection to Bina, being a mother, which is also the epitome of chesed.
Of chesed. Mm-hmm. My daughter's Hebrew name is Shoshana Elisheva, so...
Let me go on.
Which I found to be quite interesting. Well, I'll make one little comment. It's a personal comment, but I remember my mother telling me that she almost named me Elizabeth Rose. Her name was Rose. And I didn't find that out until probably I was in my 50s when I began to do genealogy. And I didn't realize when my daughter wanted the name Shoshana Elisheva, that in English it would translate, you know, to be Elizabeth Rose. I thought that was quite a coincidence. You know, if you want to call a coincidence.
Well, we gave up on coincidences, but
right.
I understand
but
what
you still
mean.
Use the word, you know. To me, you want to say,
yes,
you know, awesome, you know. Awesome connection.
Rabbi Berg used to explain that coincidence means co, meaning connected. So it's a connected incident. Verse 318. Alchoveya Vitav Bit Yuta La Aade Libeya Uruteya Mechai Umehahu Ova Devasheva Begin the Dahil Alaihu Tadir Il ma garim fad binaihu vikatrad aleya vishata disakana uginta lamshe lomineya umeruteya. Come and see. Even though David confessed his sins and repented, he was not able to completely forget and extirpate them from his heart, especially the sin related to Bathsheba, because he always feared that one of his sins might reappear and persecute him in time of danger. He never forgot them or blotted them out of his memory. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me, always." Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, danger did come upon him through his...
That is certainly his life experience.
Yes. And maybe just keeping that in the forefront of his heart, that it just manifested. Even though God said, "I blotted out your sins," he could not let that consciousness go and be, or he didn't feel like he should be forgiven of that. I don't know. So it kind of manifested into his life. Around his life, basically.
And maybe it manifested because he was constantly thinking of it.
Right.
So are we supposed to constantly think of our negative actions or not?
I think it's our human nature to do that, you know, can't forgive ourselves. You know, God said he will forgive us, but we as humans can't seem to forgive our own selves. So it's just a trait that human beings have, you know. I mean, I think about those sins that I consider sins, you know, from time to time. Sometimes they just come back into your conscious mind for whatever reason. If you know, if you see someone,
go ahead.
It's like if you see someone do something and you're like, my God, I've done that in the past. I should, you know, and it brings back the conscious feelings and the conscious thoughts. Even though you don't do those anymore, you know, it does come to your...
I think from time to time it's good to remember, because then your conscience isn't seared and you take things for granted. Like, let's say that you constantly turn on a light for Shabbat. If you're conscious that you did it without feeling guilty, but it's a reminder to you that you failed to do it, you won't sear your consciousness and just constantly turn on lights on Shabbat. I mean, that's a simple explanation. But I think when you reach the point where you feel guilty, that's when you're kind of turning the point toward the negative side. And sometimes you have to remind yourself, but, you know, I've been forgiven of that, and I did that in my youth, like David said. And,
right. And you know, you're kind of thankful.
It's like when we have to drive on Shabbat to get to the synagogue because we live so far. Okay, so we don't play the radio. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, we don't take advantage of, because we have to drive. You know, you're leaving the consciousness that you're doing what you need to do to get there, but you're not going beyond just driving the car to get there.
I understand what you're saying, but you're leaving out the whole idea of muksa. Or maybe you're addressing the idea of muksa. So by not having the radio on, the whole idea of what is muksa is that it's something that takes your consciousness out of Shabbat. So listening to the radio will do that. It will take you away from the consciousness of God, consciousness of Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a whole range of issues in halakha dealing with, well, you can do that action, but only if you do it in an unusual way, which is raising your consciousness, because you're thinking, I have to do this in a different way. For example, if you live in a building that has an elevator, and it's not a Shabbat elevator that stops at every floor, you have to call the elevator and you have to push the number for your floor. Well, how do you do that? You do it in an unusual way. Normally, you would push a button with your first finger, so you do it with your pinky finger, or with your elbow, or with your palm, depending on the circumstances of the elevator. But every time you do that, you're conscious that it's incorrect to use the elevator, but I have no choice, and so I still want to maintain connection to the Shabbat,
so I'm doing it in an unusual way. Consciousness is always the key. And there's only one more verse, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to forego the Aramaic right now, because it's a long verse, and I think we'll have an interesting discussion, but it's verse 319. Another interpretation of the verse, "For I acknowledge my transgression," is, "I am familiar with all the levels where the sins of humankind originate." In other words, he had already corrected them. "On the other hand, my sin is ever before me" refers to the defect of the moon, which he did not correct. The moon's defect was not corrected until Solomon appeared. At that point, it shone flawless and full. Then the world was joyful, literally perfume, and Israel dwelled in security. As it is written, "And Judah and Israel dwelled safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree." "My sin is ever before me" signifies that even in the days of King Solomon, the moon's defect was not completely corrected, for the temple was destroyed a second time, and the moon, which is the female principle, returned to its uncorrected state. This defect shall not be removed from the world until the King Messiah appears, as is described in the verse, "And also I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." Questions, comments, thoughts?
When it said the moon's defect was not corrected until Solomon appeared, what was the thought I had? Was that meaning that period was a period of peace? You know, there wasn't war like had been with David's time.
That's correct.
But yet for
Solomon,
okay, but
Solomon's name means peace. Shlomo. It's root shoresh is shalom. Shalem, it's the completion which is peace. When David was king, there were wars. He was protecting building the land of it, Israel. When Shlomo became king, it was a time of peace. There were no wars in the world. But what is the correction of the moon that was not complete in either time? And that was that the moon has no light of her own. That is the
so was that the quality the for wanting to receive for oneself alone?
Is it? Or is it the quality to receive in order to share?
Well, I wondered
look at the last verse. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Hannah. The unclean spirit will pass out of the land. Where does the unclean spirit live? Within the land?
In the desert.
Well, in the desert, yes. But essentially it lives anywhere there is space. There's space between me and you right now. There's distance, physical distance. That means there's space. That means there's separation. The sin of the moon in both King David's time, in Shlomo's time, and in our time, the sin of the moon is a lack of unity. Come in.
I thought maybe it had something to do when Solomon overslept and missed something that he was supposed to do in the temple.
You're giving the physical effect of physical event. Have to look at what the spiritual cause is. Spiritual cause was the unclean spirit is still in the space. As long as there's space, there is negativity. There's separation. Tomorrow morning we will have a psalms class, and I do have to go.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Who wanted to ask a question real quick?
Well, I was getting ready to say I have a hard time with a statement like that because, to me, the picture of the spirit is a picture of the physical. I don't, I see the connection between the physical and the spiritual. So,
But the cause is always spiritual. So when you're giving an explanation, you have to look at the spiritual because not everybody is aware of that connection. Unfortunately, most of the human people in the world don't make that connection. It's always related to the physical causes. That's what science is teaching right now. So that's the reason that I expressed that comment.
Okay. Well, one of these days I'll give you some examples when we have time of...
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Shalom.
Take care. Shalom.
Shalom.
Brandy, be well, Brandy.